All right, so what I'm going to be looking at today is something called the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. Now, if you look at the top there, it's got the big title there called The True Perspective. Now, we're currently doing a series called The True Perspective, and what we're doing is we're looking at different parts of the Bible, different topics in the Bible that apply to our lives as Christians on a daily basis, or things that topics that even if they don't apply to us directly at present, they're things that we've had questions about. And what we want to do today is to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. So you might not know what this is, you might not know what this is about, but I'm just going to discuss it today from the Bible so we can have a clear view of what this means. Now, I'll just start by saying that I became a Christian in 1996, and before this time I had Christian friends who were what were called Pentecostals, and what happened in those days was this. They would invite me to some of their meetings and I would refuse to go because I said, you know, I'm not having any of that. And one of the reasons why I didn't go to some of the meetings was because at the meetings, because they were Pentecostals, they spoke in tongues. And I said, you know, this is really strange. How can people be speaking in this weird language that nobody understands? And I thought, you know what, this is a bit too extreme for me. So I'm just not going to have anything to do with these folks at all. Then something happened to me. I became born again. I became a Christian in August 1996 in a Pentecostal church. And after that, I became a Christian. I started attending the church, and we went through a mini Bible class every week for about 4 weeks. And in those classes, they showed us what the Bible is about, who just like the fundamentals of the Christian faith. Then during the fourth lesson, they now said, okay, we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're going to pray for you guys. You guys will pray, and you begin to speak in tongues. And I'll explain what that means in a minute. And at that point, I wasn't quite sure what to expect because I thought that this is like really weird. How can people, what's this about? This is extremism. And at that point, I was open to it because it was being taught from the Bible. And I said, okay, you know what? If this is from God, as the Bible says, then, you know, let's give it a go. And to my utter amazement, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and I began to speak in tongues as well. So that really changed a lot of things for me, because now it wasn't me observing someone and saying, you know what, I think they're just making it up. It was now actually happening to me. So that's my experience with this. So I thought, let's go through it in detail today. And we'll go through it from the Bible. So what I'm asking today is, you know what, whatever opinions you have about, you know, speaking in tongues, or, you know, Christians praying in a language that is unintelligible, I'll just ask that you lend me your ears this morning and we'll go through it in the Bible and we'll see what the Bible actually says. Then at that point you can, you know, make your choice. Or should I say you've been in a position where you'll be able to, okay, this is, you know, correct or this isn't correct as we look through it in the Bible. So that's what we're doing today. So by the time we're done today, you'll be able to tell everyone that you know that, you know what, this speaking in tongues business, it's in the Bible and I can show you where it is. So I'm going to be looking at five things specifically today. The first is I'll look at the introduction that talks about the spirituality of the Christian faith. The second thing I'll look at is why the baptism of the Holy Spirit and what really is that about. The third thing I'll look at is examples of people in the Bible who had this experience as well and what their reaction was. Then the fourth thing I'll look at is praying in tongues. What does that really mean? We'll look at that as well. Then the fifth thing that we'll look at is receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. How do you get it if if that's something that you want? So we'll look at all those things. So if you just follow me as I go along, then that would be great. So what we'll do is I'll read the scriptures from the Bible here, but also the words will be projected on the screen so you can follow me on the screen as well. So we're using a version of the Bible called NIV, but whatever version you use is fine. This is just the one that we project on the screen. So the first thing I want to do is the introduction. Now, the introduction I want to put across to us is this, about the Christian faith. The Christian faith is a spiritual faith. It is a spiritual faith. Now, what do I mean by that? The Christian faith is not like a club, like, say, for example, the Rotary Club, that has a number of regulations and rules or a number of things that you should follow. So the Christian faith isn't just, you know what, attend church on a Sunday, say a number of prayers, try to be as good as you can be, and just be a nice person. Then you're a Christian and that's it. And you just carry on with your life on a day-to-day basis. No, it's a lot more than that. The Christian faith is a spiritual faith. It is a spiritual experience. It is spiritual in nature. So what that means is that it is not just words, so to speak. It is not just following a set of patterns, so to speak. No, it's a lot more than that. It's a spiritual faith. Now, why am I making this point? I'm making this point because it's quite important that we understand that. Now, if we don't really take that to heart, what we'll find is a Christian faith that is dry and uninteresting without the spiritual part of it. You have a spiritual faith that is boring, dry, and you're just like, you know, why am I even a Christian? Why am I doing all these things? That will happen in a situation where you have separated the spirituality of Christianity from the actual Bible. And why am I saying this? If you look around you, again, this is just my opinion. I've come across people who've said, you know what? I go to church, I do this, and I just find it particularly dull. It's just someone on at the end there saying, don't do this, don't do that. I've had enough of that. You know, that's just, and you know, people just struggle for a bit, attend a bit, then they just say, you know what, I've had enough of this. In that circumstance, a lot of the times it is because the spirituality of Christianity has been removed from it. And what you're left with is the form of Christianity. The form. And what is the form? The form is just attending services. The form is just trying to be good. The form is just trying to be what the Bible says without the spiritual part of it. Now, if we look at Acts chapter 23, verse 8, Acts chapter 23, verse 8, it tells us something about a group of people in the days of Jesus. And these people were called the Sadducees. It says, the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, and that there are neither angels nor spirits, but the Pharisees acknowledged this. So you had this group of people who said, you know what, we're religious, we're the church, so to speak, but all the spirituality, we don't want to have anything to do with. We don't even believe there's a spiritual part to the faith. And that was the opinion that they had. If we look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5, In that passage of scripture, the scripture tells us something here. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. I'll leave the other part. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power. So the Bible is saying here that one can have a form of godliness. You can have the form where one attends church, one, you know, reads the Bible. But there is a power behind that as well. And if that power is separated from the form, it becomes dead. Do you understand what I mean? It becomes dead. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, it says, God has made us, he has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. So what this is saying is that if you remove the spirituality or the spiritual part from the Bible, it becomes what the Bible refers to as the letter. Now, what that means is this. It says the letter kills. Now, when it says the letter kills, that means you will read things in the Bible, and even though those things are meant for your good, they become a burden. They become like a real, you know, difficulty around your life. It's like, this is so dry and hard, and I mean, this is just too much for me. That's what the Bible says, that if we remove the spirituality of the Bible, of the faith, that is what we'll have. We'll have a situation where the Bible is just words. It doesn't, that we don't find the life in it anymore. And it just becomes a thing of head knowledge, where we can quote a couple of scriptures, we can read about the stories in the Bible, and, you know, act them out at Christmas and at Easter, but that's where it ends. No effect at all on your life. Do you understand what I mean? That's what happens when we remove the spirituality from the Christian faith. So why am I talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit this morning and speaking in tongues? I'm talking about that because that is where spirituality meets the letter. That is where you're translated from just the head knowledge of the Bible to actually living the Bible in your life. That's where, you know, the words of the Bible jump, well, allegorically, they jump out of the Bible and they become part of your life. That is when the Christian life becomes joyous. That's when it becomes exciting. That's when it becomes fresh. Do you understand? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. So why the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And what did Jesus say about this? Let's look at Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Jesus said something to his disciples after he was resurrected. He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and till the ends of the earth." So the scenario is this. Jesus had just been resurrected from the dead. He appeared to his disciples. They saw him. They were excited. They said, "Wow, Jesus, you resurrected from the dead. What do we do next? Let's go out and preach the gospel. Now we're Christians. Let's walk this Christian walk." Jesus said something to them. He said, paraphrasing now, "You guys need to hang on. There's something that you need to make your Christian walk full, to make it joyous, to make it worthwhile." It says this, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Then you will be witnesses to me." So Jesus was saying something here. He was saying that there was an experience that they needed to wait for, that they needed to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon them. And that when that happened, then they could be witnesses to him. When that happened, then they could live a life of strength in God, a life of power in God. That's what Jesus said. Let's look at Matthew chapter 3, verse 11. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It says here, John the Baptist was talking about Jesus, and he said, "I baptize you with water for repentance." So John was baptizing people in water, like the normal water baptism that you have, which is good. We should be baptized in water. But he said, "But after me will come one who is more powerful than I," talking about Jesus. And he says, "whose sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." So John the Baptist was saying something about Jesus Christ here. He said, "There is someone who is coming, and this person will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Now, when we say the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? What is baptism? Well, if we look at water baptism is when you take someone and you dip them in water, then they're all, you know, they're baptized in water, so to speak. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is when the Holy Spirit comes upon you as you ask, and he infuses your life and he begins to live in you as a Christian. That's what Jesus was saying. So Jesus told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that wait till you have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then you will have power. So we see that. Now, the third thing is, if we look at examples of people who had who experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Bible. And we look at the book of Acts chapter 2. We look at verse 1 to 4. The very first set of people who experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 1 to 4. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. So Jesus had they had seen Jesus. Jesus had been resurrected. And Jesus said, you know what, guys, don't move at all. Wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So they were waiting for this experience that Jesus spoke about. And it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. It says, suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what happened. So they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on them. And if you note this, all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So we see an experience here where the disciples, they were Christians already. They were ready to go. Jesus said, wait till you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this describes the experience that they had. And the Bible said they were waiting. And suddenly the Holy Spirit came on them. And what happened? They began to speak, as we read here, in other tongues. What that meant was that they spoke in a language that they hadn't learned. And the Bible calls it other tongues. And this language was inspired by the Holy Spirit. That's what speaking in tongues is about. Now, let's look at Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 6. Again, where the third thing we're looking at is the examples in the Bible of people that had this experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 6. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There, he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Now, be mindful of this. He said he found some disciples. That means they were Christians already. Do you understand? They were Christians already, but he asked them a question. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul asked them, what baptism did you receive? He says, John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the coming in one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of Lord Jesus. And it says, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So we see another scenario here where Paul came to Ephesus and he saw a group of men. And he asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit? They said, Holy Spirit, we haven't even heard that there's a Holy Spirit at all. What does that mean? And these folks were Christians. So we now begin to see that this was a different experience. So they were Christians, but the Bible says that they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And Paul, the apostle, explained to them that, you know what, the baptism that you guys did with John, which was water baptism. But this is a different one. And the Bible says that when Paul prayed with them and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something happened. He said they began to speak in tongues. That's in a language that they had not learned as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit and they prophesied. So again, we see that this baptism of the Holy Spirit is not something strange. It's not something that's not in the Bible. It's something that's there. And it's something that every Christian should desire to have. Now, let's look at, okay, so that's another example. Now, I'll look at the fourth thing here. So we've looked at the introduction, the spirituality of the Christian faith, why the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and what did Jesus say about that. We've looked at some examples as well. The fourth thing we want to look at is why pray in tongues. So you've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Why should you pray in tongues? I'll just go through a number of things. The first reason why, when you receive the Holy Spirit, that you pray in tongues is this. It gives you strength. I'll explain that in a minute. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. It says, he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. He who prophesies edifies the church. So what this means is that as a Christian, if you're tired, you're just, you know, you're just, life has just had a go at you, so to speak. You're tired as we normally are. You're just, you know, you've just, everything just seems to be weighing down on your shoulders. You're tired. You just roll out of bed every morning and you just want to get through the day just by hanging on. Just, you know, and it's like that. You're just tired. The Bible says something. If you begin to pray in tongues or to speak in tongues, something begins to happen inside of you. You begin to receive strength. You become energized. You become energized. Something happens to you. You become alive again. And, you know, this is something that I do quite a bit as well. Because for me, I travel quite a lot. I'm up and down the driving several hours a day, doing one thing or the other. And there are times that I'm just so tired mentally and physically sometimes. So what do? I remember this and I begin to pray in tongues. And before I know it, again, strength is, I begin to receive strength. I'm edified. I'm, you know, I'm strong again. I'm ready to go because I do that. So as we pray in tongues, that happens to us. Now, why do we pray in tongues as well? The second thing is this. As you pray in tongues, sometimes, although you are not, you don't understand what you're praying about, oftentimes, you are actually praying the will of God. Now, if you look at Romans chapter 8, verse 26, Romans chapter 8, verse 26, it says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, or in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. So this is saying that there are times that you want to pray, but you're lost for words. Or there are times that you might want to pray for someone or about something, but you're not sure what the circumstances of that person is at that time. For example, I'm here. Maybe I want to pray for my mom in another country. I want to pray for a friend of mine who is in Glasgow or somewhere. And I can pray in a number of ways. I can say, God, help this person, help John, help him, you know, strengthen him. And that's it. But at that point in time, John might be going through a particular situation, but I don't know what that situation is. And he's really down where he is. What I can do is this. I can pray in tongues. And when I'm praying in tongues, it's the Holy Spirit giving me the words to pray, even if I don't understand the words. And the Holy Spirit will give me the words to pray for the exact situation that person is in. Do you understand? So the Holy Spirit will pray. And it will be like, maybe John's about to do something, or John's sad, or, and the Holy Spirit will give me the words to pray so that I'm praying exactly what that person needs at that particular time. Do you understand? At that particular time. So when we pray in tongues, we pray the perfect will of God. Now, the other thing as well, the third thing is that when we pray in tongues, sometimes we are able to praise God and to thank God from the depths of our heart. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. Now, there are times that you're praying and you're thanking God and you're just short of words. It says, as you switch to praying in tongues, then God can enable you. It says, now, brothers, if we come to you and we speak in tongues, what good will it be to you unless I bring some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or word of instruction? 16, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 16. Sorry. It says, if you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? So if you look at this in another way, saying that when we pray in tongues, we are able to praise God from the depths of our heart. You know, it's just like sometimes you want to express something to someone, but you're almost short of words. And you're like, how can I really communicate what's in my heart to this person? Sometimes we feel that way towards God as well, when we're trying to thank him or we're trying to praise him. But if we switch to praying in tongues, then we're able to do that. The Holy Spirit gives us the language to do that. So we begin to see that these are some of the reasons that we pray in tongues. So we see that there are loads of benefits to it. It's the Holy Spirit in us. And as we engage in this and as we do this, we'll begin to realize that our Christian walk is not dry and just, you know, burdensome, because we're energized by the power of the Spirit. So the last thing I'm going to look at today is, okay, I've spoken about the spirituality of the Christian faith, what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is and what Jesus said. We looked at examples in the Bible. We've looked at some reasons why we should pray in tongues. Now we want to look at, how do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? How do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit so that as a Christian, you can be strong? As a Christian, you can pray effectively. As a Christian, you don't have to go through life just barely staying alive in your Christian faith. How do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Very simple. Nothing complicated at all. Two things. The first thing is this. If you look at Acts chapter 3, verse 19. The first thing is this. You need to be what the Bible calls born again. Now, what does it mean to be born again? It means when you give your heart to Christ and you turn over your life to Christ. Some people say, hang on, I'm a Christian. I was born in a Christian home. I was raised up as a Christian. I lived as a Christian. We went to church. And all that, that's fine. But there's a difference between being born again, being a Christian, and doing Christian activities. The Bible tells us something in the book of Acts chapter 19. It says, repent then and turn to God, that your sins may be wiped out and that times of refreshing might come to you. So if you're not born again, you don't know what that means. What that means is that you simply turn to God and acknowledge your sin and just tell God, you know what, I'm a sinner and I turn my heart to you. I believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins and that he has paid for my sins. And you turn to God. That is what it means. Just turning your heart to God and acknowledging your sin. That's it. And the second thing is this. How do you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? If you're born again and you've really given your hearts to God, and what's that? Just acknowledging in the split second that, God, I'm a sinner and I want to turn my heart over to you. Once you've done that and you're born again, what do you do next? Very simple. Luke 11 verse 13, it says, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So it's really that simple. Bible says that if you're born again, all you have to do is ask the Lord, ask God, that, God, I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And as you do that, just simply believing, God will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And what will happen is that you will be able to, you'll be able to speak in tongues. Now, what does that mean? That means that as you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, God will give you a new prayer language. And with this prayer language, which is called speaking in tongues, you'll be able to receive strength. You'll be able to pray accurately. And so on and so forth. Do you understand? So it is as simple as that. So why am I saying all this? I'm saying all this because there was a time that I didn't understand this in its entirety, as I've explained it now. There was a time that I thought, you know, this is really weird. There was a time that I thought, you know, I'm not quite sure what this is. But having gone through the Bible, I now understood that it is not weird. It is something that God wants us to have so that we can be strengthened in our Christian walk. So that our Christian walk is not just dry and just, do you get what I mean? That is what it's about. So I'm going to ask that we rise this morning and we'll pray. And this morning, what I'd like us to do is this. I would like us to just pay attention to ourselves. Forget about the person who is standing or sitting next to you. And you just focus on yourself this morning. And the reason I'm asking that is this. Your encounter and your relationship with God has nothing to do with the person who is standing next to you. It is you. You are the one that God wants. You are the one that God wants to give the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do this morning, if you want to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, as I've explained, That's what God wants for us. There are just two things that you need to do. The first thing is this: if you're not born again, which means you haven't given your heart to God, you can just close your eyes with me and just ask simply. There's nothing complicated about it. God, I want to be born again. I want to give my heart to you. Once you do that this morning, then the next thing we'll do is that we'll pray for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I'll pray as well. And I tell you, I've seen people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit tons and tons and tons of times. Nothing complicated at all. As I pray the second prayer of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, something will happen to you. God will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Then you will begin to speak in tongues if you want to. And as we do that, I'm going to ask that we do something. I will begin to pray in tongues. So when I begin to pray in tongues, you will not understand what I'm saying, but the Bible says it's a language that we do not understand. Don't worry about that. As I begin to pray in tongues, you as well ask that the Lord will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and you begin to pray in tongues as well. So it'll be like a language that you have not learned before, but don't worry. Speak it as it comes to you. God has good for you this morning. And if you're already born again and you speak in tongues already, pray in tongues and ask that the Lord will strengthen strengthen you in the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well, in Jesus' name. So let us pray.